But it is good to see everybody and be encouraged by everyone here, especially our visitors. We thank you for your presence and being a part of our assembly this morning. We hope we can encourage you in the things that have to do with God and His will. And we solicit any questions you have about what we do, what we teach. We'll be very happy to discuss those more with you, using God's Word to direct each of us in God's way. The lesson we've arranged this morning is a simple one. It's about faith toward God. On Wednesday night, Brother Sam mentioned the passage in Acts chapter 20 where Paul had talked about preaching repentance toward God. So it's also important to see that we must have faith toward God. And really what we are discussing this morning is a very fundamental concept. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, if you'll turn to God's Word with me there, we understand that faith is fundamental. It's, in fact, there it says, and we've been going to this verse some in the last couple of months and looking at some of these fundamentals. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. When he says leave, he doesn't mean just cast them aside, but he's talking about our growth. He says, let us go on to perfection or to maturity. Go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. All the doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So to go on to maturity is our goal, our aim, not simply to stay in the same place concerning our understanding. But in fact, as he has already laid out, the inspired writer here in chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it is God's intent that we grow from being babes in the Word of God to being full-grown people, being mature, being adults of full age. By using God's Word. He says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, mature. That's the perfection of chapter 6, 1 and verse 3, that if God permits, we will accomplish this. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, through our growth in understanding God's Word, we are able to use it to exercise our senses, to sharpen our focus, to choose the good and refuse the evil, to be mature in Christ. What could be more fundamental to that than laying a basis of faith? Lord, I believe. It is that fundamental basis of faith toward God that from which our whole life moves and is defined. And that's what we want to study a little bit together this morning in Hebrews 11 in verse 1 to remind ourselves what faith is. You know, unfortunately, a lot of folks, like everything else, there's a lot of different concepts of what faith is. And so God's Word helps us know what it is. It teaches us what it is. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want you to see two aspects, two parts of faith here. First, he says faith is the substance. The American Standard translates that word the assurance of hope. It is the undergirding of hope. Where there is no faith, legitimate faith, there is no hope, no real hope. We can desire and want and wish all we want, all we to our heart's content. But unless we have faith that the Bible defines as faith under the saving of the soul, chapter 10:39, then we really don't have anything to support our hope. Faith and hope are therefore inseparable in the Scriptures. Remember 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abide faith, hope, and love. They go together. Paul talked about them in 1 Thessalonians 1. Or look again in 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verses 20 and 21. Peter joins them here. When talking about Christ, he says, He indeed was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through Him believe in God. We believe in God through Christ, he says, who raised Him from the dead. Our faith in God is that God raised Jesus from the dead and gave Him glory, exalted Him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Our faith and hope is not in the church. Our faith and hope is not in mom and dad, or son and daughter, or grandparents or grandchildren. Our hope, he says, your faith and your hope are in God. See the connection, as Hebrews 11:1 says? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It gives assurance to our hope. To our hope. Without faith, there's no undergirding of hope. Put them together, and you see them working in tandem to secure us in our lives of discipleship and of our anticipation of eternal glory. Hebrews 11:1 says the second part of faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence or conviction, some versions say, of things not seen. Faith is the conviction. It is the evidence that there are unseen things in which we hope, in which we have confidence and conviction concerning. So, faith and the presence of faith implies reasons, evidences to support it. The song, Lord, I Believe, talks about those evidences, doesn't it? The wonders of creation that God has laid before us provide testimony that He is, Lord, I believe. And so in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, Peter said, sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. A reason. An answer. Give a defense. Give an answer. Give the testimony. Give the evidence for your faith. Faith is not blind. It's not a blind leap into the dark. Don't know what will happen, but I'll just believe. No. It is a belief that is anchored in a conviction of things we cannot see, but because of the evidence that proves their existence, His existence, we believe in God. I mean, after all, you can't see the air you're breathing, but you believe in it, don't you? What's the evidence of that? Well, you have lungs, and if you didn't breathe, you'd die. I mean, there's a lot of evidence of air, but you can't see it. And after all, isn't that what Jesus said in the third chapter, when He talked about the new birth? That which is born again, you can't see it. It's like the wind, but you see the effect. Well, we can't see God, but we see the effect. We see the evidence that convinces us to believe. That's the faith we're talking about here, is a faith toward God. Hebrews 11:6 will go on to say, for without faith, now remember his context, without faith, what faith? A faith that is the substance of things hoped for. A faith that is the evidence of unseen things. Not a blind leap, but an evidentiary conclusion that sustains our anticipation of the future. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith believes God exists. We already mentioned the evidences from the song of the creation, but put Scripture to that. As our brother Dykus wrote that song, Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, The firmament shows His handiwork. You want to believe in God? Look at the evidence of the heavens. Day and night, day unto day, it utters speech. And night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The heavens are speaking. And it doesn't matter what language among men is used. They speak a language that we can all understand. The glory of God. The power of His handiwork. Their line or their sound goes out through all the earth. And their words to the ends or to the end of the world. They speak. That's why we believe. A faith toward God. Because of the evidence of His powerful creation of His presence. That's why in Hebrews 11 in verse 3, by faith we understand. We don't speculate. We don't guess. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that the things that are seen were not made of things which are visible. Everything comes from something. The first cause of it all is God Himself. Faith toward God. Believes God exists, Hebrews 11, 6 says. And secondly, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith believes God rewards us if we'll diligently seek Him. The converse is found in Romans 1, 20 through 25. Because you see, when God displays His power and deity in His creation, we ought to glorify Him. We ought to thank Him. We ought to serve Him and worship Him. Sadly, the Gentiles of which He speaks here didn't do that. But remember that verse? It says, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We understand the world. The world was made by the Word of God, Hebrews 11, 3. So, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power and Godhead, clearly seen by the things that have been created. So they're without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. When we know God to be God and we don't glorify Him, we sin against Him. Nor we're thankful. You see, God rewards the diligent seeker who's going to glorify Him because he sees the evidence of who He is and how and His power. Thankful to Him. But these instead became futile. In their thoughts. Foolish hearts are darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness. When we recognize the true God, instead of us choosing the path of uncleanness, we're to choose the path of holiness. Purity. But these refused Him, and so driven by their lust, they dishonored their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. When we diligently seek the true God because we believe that He is, then truth guides us, not the lie. We worship Him instead of the creature. But these worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. God will reward the one who, knowing that He is, glorifies Him, thanks Him, serves Him, and worships Him. These, in refusing that, found themselves under God's judgment. Faith toward God. We believe in God. That is at the basis of why we are here today, offering Him worship. But we want to drill down deeper. These are all fundamental, but we need to think still more with the Word of God about what that means. What is it we must do to have faith toward God? Now, there's some people who say there's not anything you can do to have faith toward God. They believe that you can't even believe until God empowers you by an enabling grace from His Holy Spirit. To believe that you are so corrupt, you are so defiled, you are so depraved that you don't even have the ability to believe. Until God gives you that power. And He's chosen, after all, from before time began, who He's going to choose unto life and who He's going to choose unto death. And there's really nothing you can say about it or do about it. Now that's Calvinism. That's false, rank error. It's not the Word of God. And yet it has influenced practically all of the denominations in one form, fashion, or the other. We are to do something if we're to have faith. What did that verse say?
It said the diligent seeker is rewarded. There's more to faith than just saying, I believe. I also must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now there's a choice I've got to make. You've got to make. Will you be a diligent seeker?
But of course that then compels us to be sure we're seeking the right path, doesn't it? So step by step, faith toward God. John 6:27 says, do not labor, this is Jesus saying, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Now here's the giver of life, Jesus. He's the bread of God, as He goes on to describe. But here's an activity that man must engage himself in. Jesus said, labor for the food that endures for eternal life. Someone says, you've missed it there now. Preacher, we can't do anything for our salvation. But Jesus said, labor for the food that endures to everlasting life. Does that mean you earn it? No, it's a grace. It's a gift. God, the Son of Man, will give it to you. But you got to labor for it. Well, they said, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent.
Belief is a work for
food that endures to everlasting life.
Now, if that's not what that verse means, please show it to me afterwards. Jesus said, labor for the food that endures. Christ will give you that everlasting life.
And here's the work that you've got to do. You have to believe.
Now, if it's all up to God and not up to you, then when somebody's lost, that's all up to God and not to them. Think about it. If on the one hand you're going to say, well, it's all up to God and none up to me to go to heaven, then it must be all up to God and none to the sinner when the sinner goes to hell. That's not balanced. That's not truth. That's not the Word of God.
Three simple things if we're going to have faith
unto eternal life. If we're going to have faith toward God, three simple things the Bible tells us we have to do. Laboring for this food that endures to eternal life. We got to hear what God says. We got to listen to God.
I know a lot of people, what that means to them is to build a little prayer closet and go into the closet and pray and let God speak to you.
But that's not what the Bible says prayer is about. Prayer is not God speaking to us. That's latter-day revelation.
You believe God speaks directly to you, then God's given you revelation that He hadn't given to me or a lot of other people. Is that how God communicates today? No, how God communicates today is He speaks a word. You remember Samuel? When he was just a boy coming up there at the feet of Eli and God began to speak to Samuel. He thought it was Eli calling him in the night. But when Eli discerned that it was God talking to Samuel, he told him, you go back and next time God calls you, you say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. A lot of people,
it's sad, you know, but the truth is, God's not going to come to you in the night and say, Dolores, Dolores, Jack, Jack, start talking to you. Now what He's going to do is what He has done. In these last days, He speaks to you. How? In His Son. Hebrews 1 and verse 2. God is speaking to you in His Son.
You want to hear God? Then go to His Son.
He said, how do I go to the Son?
You go to His Word.
You go to His Word. Again, Brother Sam talked to us some Wednesday night about the parable of the sower, seed and the sower. It was a part of his discussion. What Jesus teaches in that context is we've got to have a ready heart to receive the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. In Matthew 13 and verses 3 through 9 is the parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. Some of those seed fell on the hard ground, on the wayside ground. Right? The birds came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony places where there was not much earth. And immediately it sprang up and because they had no depth of earth. But the sun was on it, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He taught a parable. Who would understand the parable? Jesus talked about in this next passage why he used parables. Parables at once both revealed and yet, really ultimately the parable revealed the condition of the heart of the one who was hearing it. And he says, this is really in a fulfillment of the prophecy that said, hearing you will hear and not understand. Seeing you'll see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears hard of hearing. Jesus said, when you don't want to hear the Word of God, you won't hear it. Do you want to hear God? Now, if you want to hear God, you got to have a ready heart, a good and honest heart. That's the good soil that receives the Word, holds it fast, and bears fruit with patience. He would go on again later to say, hear the parable of the sower. Here's the explanation. Hear the teaching. And he sums it up later in that same text, verse 43, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The question is, do I have an ear to hear? You want to believe? You want faith toward God? The first thing you've got to do is have an ear to hear. A heart, a ready heart to give audience to the words of Jesus. Or you won't believe. It'll be a little faith, a weak faith, a dead faith. It won't be saving faith. You know, there were many who believed on Him in John 12, but because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't confess Him because they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. They believed. Were they saved? Not according to the passage. You see, faith only is not enough to save you. Is it? If you want faith toward God, start hearing God. God draws us. He teaches us and draws us to Jesus by His Word. It says they will all be taught of God. How's God teach us? Hebrews 1:2, in His Son. When we'll listen to with a will to do the will of God, to seek Him diligently, we'll come to an understanding. We'll receive the Word and hold it fast and bear fruit. We'll follow it and be blessed by it. In John 8, Jesus said to, again, notably, Jews who believed in Him. John 8:31. Again, He's talking to believers in Him. And He said, why don't you understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my Word. You are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. There were believers who were sons of the devil. Because they wanted to do the devil's will more than God's will. That presents a problem to the faith-only crowd. Does it present a problem to you? Do you say, oh, I don't care what it says, I believe in there, and so I'm going to heaven. Well, the Bible says we can believe and be lost. We can have a faith, but if we want a faith toward God, Jesus said, listen with the will to do His will. If any man wills to do His will, he shall know of the teaching, whether I speak of myself or from God, or whether I speak of my own authority. The will to do His will. You want faith toward God? Then listen to Christ's words with the will to do His will. Got to hear. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing is by the Word of God.
Romans 10:17. The Word of God is the place we go to hear God if we want to believe, if we want to have faith toward God. Secondly, it's fundamental. You got to trust what God says. It's not enough simply to say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and then go about our business as we want. No, you see, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, the apostle said, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, there's the hearing, and now they've received the Word of God. You welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Here are people who believed because when they heard the word of God, they received the word of God. In other words, they trusted that it was from God and not from man. They welcomed it into their lives. They welcomed it. And they obeyed it. By the way, go back to chapter 1 and verse 8, where Paul, in commending these Christians in Thessalonica, said, your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Their faith toward God was not hidden. It was not some just better felt than told thing that they just held within themselves. They heard the gospel, they received it, and as we'll see, as Paul suggests there, they applied it, they lived it. But before we get to that point, let's just talk about this trust for a minute. Trusting what God says. In John 7, we have a really good illustration of that within the broader context of our scripture reading this morning that we started with in John, the 6th chapter. And you remember Jesus talking about these people. He said, well, what may we do that we may work the works of God? You need to labor for the food that abides to eternal life. And he says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of God that came from heaven. And he says, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's not talking about the Lord's Supper. No, he's talking about receiving His Word, because He says, he who feeds on me will live because of me, verse 57. We've got to partake of Christ, how? By the Word, 44 and 45. Everyone who hears and learns from the Father comes to me, comes to the bread of life. And then you feed on me. Now watch this, in verse 60, many of His disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, you ever find yourself complaining about the Word of Christ, the Word of God? If we find ourselves complaining about the Bible and God's will for us, we need to stop right there and reassess. Jesus knows it, and He knew it then. And so He said to them, why does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend from where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus knew from the beginning who it was that did not believe on Him and who would betray Him. So He said, therefore I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. See, the Father teaches, the Father gives His Word, and people choose to come to Him or not. That's what God has granted, this ability to come to Him. But you see, Judas chose not to believe. These people chose to complain. And by the way, it says that they walked with Him no more. They turned away. Verse 66, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. They didn't believe. What's the matter? They didn't trust what He said. They saw the miracles, but they didn't trust. They were faithless. Peter, on the other hand, said, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter implies we're going to trust Your Word. The day before, Peter had gotten a first-hand lesson on that. You see, or I should say the night before, because the night before Peter said that, Jesus had come walking to the boat on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Give your word. Let me hear your word. Peter heard the word. Jesus said, come. He spoke a word. Peter heard it, and he trusted it. Initially, he got out of the boat, and he started walking on the water. Do we have that kind of trust? Let's learn from Peter to have that kind of trust. And not just say, oh, well, Peter started sinking. Yeah, but he got out of the boat and he started walking on the water too. Trust. But then he got afraid, right? And he began to doubt. Matthew 14:27-33. And Jesus said, why did you doubt, O you of little faith? His faith needed to be strengthened. But you see, a part of faith is trust. Faith in Christ's Word removes fear. And so when we let other influences overwhelm us, we start getting afraid and we lose our trust in His Word and we lose our faith in Christ. Our faith is not in God, toward God any longer. The world wants to remove our faith, our trust that the Word is true. So they tell us science is true. They tell us politicians are true. They tell us this is true and that is true and something else is true, but it's always the wisdom of men. We're talking about the salvation of the soul. Science is not going to save our soul. We're glad for science. A lot of good. Science does a lot of good. But it's man's understanding of his physical world. That's not going to save our soul. So, trust what God says, because there's something more important than the food that perishes. Labor not for the food that perishes. Where's my emphasis? Where's my hope? Tonight we're going to study about hope. Faith and hope. Where's our hope? If we are more concerned about laboring for the food right here and now, and this life right here and now, that's going to perish. Where is our hope? More on that tonight. Come back and join us. The Bible's full of examples of great faith that trusted the Word of Jesus. The centurion in Capernaum. Jesus said, I haven't seen this great a faith in all of Israel. When he sent the Jewish elders to ask Jesus to heal his servant. Or Jairus, whose daughter was sick. The people said, don't bother Jesus anymore. She's dead. Jesus said to him, don't doubt, only believe. Trust. And he healed the daughter. Trust. Don't be afraid, he said more specifically. Do not be afraid, only believe. Again, the Ethiopian heard Scripture. He said, who's he talking about? He preached to him Jesus. He understood the Scripture. He trusted that it was true because he saw water and said, there's water, what's keeping me from being baptized? Because you see, Jesus had said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. This man wanted to be saved. He said, what's keeping me from it? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, a lot of people have that person saved right then and there, before he goes down to the water. But Jesus said, he that believes, the Ethiopian believed in the chariot, and is baptized, that's down in the water, is saved. Now, when was the Ethiopian saved? Do you believe Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? Or do you trust the creeds and doctrines of men through the centuries that have defiled the simple gospel of how to be saved? You see, we're deceiving ourselves. You're deceiving yourself if you think you're saved without being baptized when Jesus said, and yet say, well, I trust Jesus. No, you don't. You're not trusting Jesus. When he said, believe and be baptized and be saved, and you say you're saved before you're baptized, you're not trusting Jesus any longer. Trust Jesus if you want to have faith toward God. See how that works? That's God's judgment. That's God's Word. You got to hear it and you got to trust it.
But if you want to have faith toward God, that means you got to do what He says. The word that Jesus quoted to Satan was, "Man shall live by bread alone, and shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Live by. Faith is active. It hears, it trusts, and it obeys the word of the Lord. James, the second chapter. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" Think about it. He says, clearly his answer is no, it can't save him. "If a prophet or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm, be filled,' but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit?" You know, we put it in our way of saying things, you got to do more than talk a good game. We're supposed to do. We're supposed to act on what we trust is true. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And he continues that same thing throughout that. See, the book of Hebrews repeatedly shows the reward of those who, by faith, obey God. It said specifically of Noah, by faith, Noah obeyed God and built an ark to the saving of his house. And so it is with Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Sarah, with Rahab and many others. In contrast to that, Israel in the wilderness in Hebrews 3 died. For 40 years they wandered and died. Why was that? Why was God angry with them for 40 years? Hebrews 3:17. Well, verse 18 says, "To whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey?" And you see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They did not believe. Therefore, they did not obey. Therefore, they died in the wilderness. Now, verse 1. "Therefore," here's the lesson for us. "Since a promise remains of entering into His rest..." We have a promise of entering into heaven. "Let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard the word, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." They heard the word, that's not faith. But when they trusted that word and obeyed that word, verse 19, they had faith. They didn't have faith, and so they died in unbelief. Faith working through love. Galatians 5, 6, and 7 teaches us is what prevails and what avails, what is beneficial. Faith working, active, doing what God says. Three simple things: hear, trust, and do. Hear the Word of God, trust the Word of God as true, and do the Word of God. So let's conclude by looking at 2 Corinthians 5. Do you have faith toward God this morning? That hears His Word, that trusts His Word and does His Word, reads the Word is the Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. Not something you heard, that's not how... Remember, He speaks to you in His Son. Son sent out His apostles. They wrote this word. This is His word. Hear it, trust it, obey it. 2 Corinthians 5 says in verse 7, "We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him." We make it our aim to walk, to please Him. How we please Him? Walk by faith. How do we walk by faith? We hear His Word. Romans 10:17. We trust His Word. Why did you doubt? Don't doubt. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And obey His Word. Obedience. Faith plus works. The works of faith is obedience. You're not earning anything when you obey. It's God's grace. It's God's gift.
But that's God's condition.
See, that you trust Him enough that when you hear His Word, you do what He says. And the gift is yours. You know, Jericho. You want to see an example of that? The walls of Jericho. Jericho was God's gift to Israel, but they had to walk around it and do a lot of things before the wall fell down flat. What if they hadn't done that? See, God is not unjust to forget our faith, brethren. Hebrews 6. He says, you want to go on to perfection, go on to maturity, then show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Same diligence. Full assurance of hope. Why? Because of faith. Faith that endures and inherits the promises of God. That's faith toward God. And that's the faith God wants us to have. A faith that's under the saving of the soul. What about you this morning? If you're not a Christian, you haven't yet, to this point, had faith under the saving of your soul. You may be part of the way there. You may be listening to the Bible, God's Word. You may trust that it's true, but have you done what it says? What it says in its way? To believe Jesus is the Son of God, to confess that faith and repent of your sins, to be baptized into Christ for remission of your sins, like the Ethiopian in Acts 8. Put your faith into action and receive the reward, he says, those who will diligently seek Him and endure, working for the food that abides unto everlasting life. If you're a Christian and you know you've sinned against the Lord and not been faithful to Him, return in confession, repentance. We can pray together about that. We urge that call, that response to God's call right now while we stand and sing.